Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. It's Elder Angelique Lawrence coming to you with another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. Hallelujah. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find our victory in Christ Jesus. So I need you to go grab your pen, your paper, and your Bible as we get to it. And while you're doing that, I want you to know that you can always reach out to us via Facebook at our Facebook page, Perfecting Love Outreach Ministries, or you can always email us with your comments and your questions about the Word of God, even stuff that you might want to discuss here on Truth Finders as we're fellow Truth Finders digging together, amen, at perfectinglovemissions@gmail.com. I know a lot of you overseas pastors have been using these teachings for your congregation, amen. So what I started to do is put some of the scriptures at the bottom. You can go back and search the scriptures for yourself, and you can continue to edify as the body of Christ as we come together as one edifying one in number. Amen. And I also want you to continue to pray for me as I continue to pray for you. Amen. So at this time, you should have your pen, your paper, and your Bible, and let's get started with the prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness. This truly is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to come and have your way, Lord God. Sup with us right now. Labor with us, Lord God, as we dig into the Word of God on today, as we get our truth that we may live a victorious life that you promised us, Lord God, in your Word in the name of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you just to take over, Lord God, as I'm decreasing and you're increasing right now in the name of Jesus, knowing it's never by our might or power, but it's always by your Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So I just bless you on today. Hallelujah. I thank and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you all, fellow truth finders, amen, as we have been going into the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to me a couple of weeks ago, we need to go back to the basics, get back to the basics. And one thing that I know a lot of the body of Christ teaches is the fruit of the Spirit. But last week we talked about what it meant, the fruit of the Spirit, not just a checklist, this, but it is the characteristics of God. These are the attributes that God is trying to pass on to us. Amen. And so last week we dealt with Galatians. For those of you who are new, the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5 through 23. And let's break it down as far as we can. We said the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, one, it's all one, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you can hear those broken down individually, amen. And we are going to actually go through each and every one of those characteristics individually so you have a clear understanding of what the fruit of the Spirit is and what God is trying to do in your life. Amen. And if you want to listen to that teaching in its entirety, you can always go back to Blog Talk Radio. Amen. And on our Perfect and Love Outreach Missions and Missionary. Amen. On Blog Talk and listen to that. But on today, we're going to pick up with the greatest of commandments, love. Love, and get this, this is the definition. Love is caring without seeking personal gain. Amen. Caring without seeking personal gain. We hear love so much. Amen. And we're going to go on that later, but let's look at what we know about love. Love is three types of love in the Bible. When we mention love in the Bible, it's three types. It's philos. Amen. It's the Greek. And those of you who keep up with the Strong Concordance, it's at the 5368. Amen. And philos is to be a friend and have affection, for personal attachment, a matter of sentiment or feeling, two that stand together. Amen. And then there's Philadelphia. That's the second type of love that we see in the Bible. Amen. And that's brotherly love. They notice the city of Philadelphia, you always say it's brotherly love. It's kindness. That's kindred. That's the love. And then the third type of love that we see when we look in the scripture is agape love. And for those of you who again, looking in the Strong's Concordance, it's 26. And that's affection or benevolence, a love feast, charity, dear love. So when we look at the fruit that Apostle is speaking of as agape, unconditional love, God loves us unconditionally in its nature. And so when we look at love, because when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, we're looking at the character, we said last week, it's the characteristics that God is developing us. And so as we went through those definitions, we need to know that God is developing in us an agape love. It's an unconditional love. When we look at Christ, Christ's love fulfilled those qualities of unconditional love. And when that bread of love characterizes us, we will be free of self-condemnation, experience confidence before God. And so God is trying to get us to a perfected love. We're going to get into the details even of that later. Love within itself has become such a common word, but we need to define it through the eyes of God because he is the definition of love. Let's get over to the scripture. Let's see what the scripture is saying. 1 John, let's flip over to 1 John, and we're going to be in 1 John a lot as we talk about love. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says this. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. And when I say people say, oh, I love this, I love that, I said, Jesus is love. Jesus is the very essence of love. When you look up love, you know how we always say, if you look in the dictionary, you see love, it should have a picture of Jesus there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is who Jesus is. How do we know that? As we defined love earlier, we said it's caring without seeking personal gain. And so when we see Jesus and what he did for us, he went to the cross and died for people who didn't know him, who didn't love him, didn't know who he was, didn't love him yet, and actually were the ones who hollered, crucify him. There's no greater love than that. Even the Bible said there's no greater love than a man die for his brother, die for his family, amen. And so Christ is the actual definition of love. When we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, let's go down to verse 16. It says this, and we have known and believed that the love that God has to us, God is love. And he that dwell in love dwell in God and God in him. And so God is trying to teach us a love that we never seen before. A lot of times people say, oh, I love my kids unconditional love. Yeah, but God has a certain type of love that's this transcends this world. And so the adversary in the world has kind of convoluted it. It has tried to make love look like lust. But that's not what the love is, and that's definitely not the love of God, how it looks. The love of God is so loving someone past their faults, past their needs, past their situations, past their situations. It's just a love that just holds on to somebody, continues to give when that person doesn't give back, continuing to do when that person doesn't reciprocate the love, and continue to do it without any resentment or remorse for doing it. That's what God does. Amen. We're going to go into perfect love, and we talked about that a little earlier. We're going to go into perfect love that Apostle John describes in the scriptures. Well, let's go over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. We're in 1 John still. And just flip over for my new saints. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says this. It says, for whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And so God is trying to perfect our love. We know what unconditional love is. It's a love without end, a love with no conditions to it. But God said he's trying to get to us a perfected love. What is a perfected love? It's a complete love. It's a consummated in character. Amen. It's finished. It's fulfilled. So we are striving to be perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. So the only way to have that perfect love is to be in Christ Jesus. Don't get into the habit of thinking that someone can love you if they don't love Jesus, because Jesus is love. And as saints of God, we confuse that, hallelujah, with the way love looks in the world, because the world does not know love because it did not recognize Jesus when he came. You know, John talks about, light came into the world and the darkness comprehended it not. And so the world can't give you what Christ can give you. And so perfected love, hallelujah, is only found in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I need you to understand that. I need you to meditate on that, because you will never get to a place of perfected love in your life without knowing Christ Jesus and being inside of him. You will never feel that complete love. You will never feel that security that Christ gives you without being in him. When we look at 1 John, let's read 1 John. Like I said, we're going to be moving around 1 John, because now we're talking about perfected love. We understand that God has an agape love, an unconditional love for us. And that's what Apostle Paul is talking about when he talks about in Galatians chapter 5. But now we're getting to the perfected love. What is that love doing for us? It's perfecting us in Christ Jesus. It's making us look like Christ, which Christ is trying to get us to look like our Father, God the Father, amen, and his characteristics. So when we look at 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18, and it says this: no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, he in God. Amen. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwell in love dwell in God, and God in him. Amen. Hereon is our love made perfect. Again, we're getting back to that perfect love. Now, God is perfecting our love. First, he's showing us and introducing us to his unconditional love. Now he's trying to perfect it, make it whole, fulfill it, finish it, consummate it, make it complete. Amen. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in his world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. And so let's deal with that for a minute. When we look at fear, you know, Apostle Paul told us earlier, God did not give us the spirit of fear. Amen. That's found in 2 Timothy 1 through 7. He said, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you love, power, and a sound mind. So the first thing he said he gave you love. And so love is Jesus Christ. Love conquers death. Love, hallelujah, conquers darkness. Amen. And so when we look at love, that's why he said there is no fear in love. You can't be in a place where you fear and say you love. When you love God wholeheartedly, there's a trust. There's an encompassing. There's a completeness. There's a fullness that comes with loving Christ, what comes with being in Christ Jesus. And so God is in the process of perfecting our love, and that's the love that Apostle Paul is talking about as we build on the characteristics of who God is, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is who his very essence is. He is love. So God is in the process of perfecting our love. The world does not know what love is because it won't recognize Christ as perfect love. And so, you know, the man of God said, I searched all over, couldn't find nothing, couldn't find nobody, but searched high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Amen. Nobody greater than Christ. Nobody greater than Jesus. That's the love of God that's personified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's the love of God that's coming out, that's coming forth. The perfect love. The love, hallelujah, that conquers all. The love that changes minds. The love that changes hearts. The love that causes that miracle of deliverance. Hallelujah. From darkness to light. That's perfected love. Amen. That's a love that so know Christ, that's so in him, that him and you, what Christ talked about in the Gospels about I and you and you and me, that's the intertwining, hallelujah, of you with Christ when you have that perfected love. That perfected love transcends all fear, doubt, shame, condemnation, amen. Although love is an aspect of the Spirit, the spiritual fruit, evidence of new birth. Let's look at, when we look at love, When you start to get to a place that your love is being perfected, you start to become a new person. Amen. Let's look at John. And we're going to go over to St. John. Amen. St. John chapter 13, verse 35. Let's flip on over there to the Gospels. Amen. St. John 13, hallelujah, 13 and 35. Yeah, I'm going to flip over there with you because I usually have it, but I don't. Hallelujah. 13 and 35 says this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one for another. So the evidence, hallelujah, that you are in Christ and Christ is you, are you loving unconditionally, not with any fear, not with fear of rejection, not fear of shame, guilt, and condemnation. But how will they know? Apostle John said, how will they know me? How will they know that you are me? He said, because by this they shall know that ye are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so what we see, hallelujah, when you have that perfected love, we start to see us look like Christ. We start to be in a place where we start to show grace and mercy. And we talked about what grace was. Grace is not just unmerited favor, but grace looks like someone who actually wronged you. And not only do you not punish them for wronging you, but you even give them additional things. You bless them even the more. That's what God did for us. So when we start to look like Christ, when we start to develop the fruit of love, that unconditional love, that agape love, hallelujah, that perfected love, that so trusts God. God so loved the world. And so now we so love Christ in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are responsible to develop that love. We have to understand that this is a lifelong process. It doesn't happen overnight. We have never seen this type of love. This is a love that transcends this earth. It transcends all that we know, all that we've seen. And that's where Christ came, so he may show us this, the mysteries of the Godhead is the love of God that we can't even comprehend in our fleshly body, in our carnal mind. And so we, as we get in Christ, we are responsible for developing that fruit. We are responsible for building up on that. We demonstrate this love for three reasons. For one, love is the very nature of God. Amen. Love, let's look at 1 John. We're going to go back over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. It says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And we've read that earlier. Amen. Number two, we said, because we have to demonstrate this love for three reasons. We talked about earlier what it is, what agape love was. We talked about that God is trying to teach us perfected love. That's the love that's in Christ Jesus. We found out that now we're responsible for developing that love. And the three reasons why we have to develop that love is one, love is the very nature of God. Jesus came that we may have life and that more abundantly. But he also came to get us back to our Father, the Maker. Amen. And get us back in the presence of him. So we have to look like him to be in his presence. So the very nature of God is love. Number two, and these are the three reasons why we demonstrate this love. Amen. Because God loved us. We experience his love, forgiveness, and help. So we are obligated to help others, even as great personal cost. Amen. Let's look at John 3:16. Very familiar. We've been talking about it throughout this whole thing. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 16. And most of you probably know it. Amen. This is the very foundation of our Christianity. John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to get over there, and I'm not going to quote it. I'm going to actually read it for you so you can see this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is the personal cost that God did. He sacrificed his Son for us. We look back at 1 John 4 and 11, he told us to love one another. This is the obligation that we have when Christ comes and saves us, when he comes to a place where we know who we are. When we come to that place of Romans 10 and 9, when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus Christ died, and the third day he rose, he did it for me, I'm saved, amen. Now it's our obligation to love others the way God loved us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 say, amen, we're going to get over there. I want you to see this, amen. Ephesians, get over to Ephesians chapter 5, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to verse 5 through 2. Amen. I hope this is blessing you all, fellow truth finders, amen, as we understand the greatest commandment that the Bible says is love, amen. But we have to know what it is to be able to do it, amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and it says this, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And so it's our responsibility to love people the way God loved us. Amen. In John 13 and 34 says, amen, and let's get back over there. We have St. John, and I'm giving you the scripture so you can see our obligation to love, to develop that fruit, to look like Christ as we learn what love is. As God reveals to us his love, we need to reveal that to those around us, amen, that they may see God in us, that they may see Christ growing in us, amen. St. John chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 34, and we talked about this even from the beginning. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And so now, hallelujah, the same thing that God did for us, he wants us to reciprocate that love to others, that the kingdom of God may be growing, that the kingdom of God may be moving forth. If we love one another, God continues to love us, and his love is made complete in us. And we read that in 1 John 4 and 17. As we go back into it, amen, we understand that God is in the process of not just developing us, amen, but he's helping us to develop others and who he is, amen, helping us to look like him, walk like him, talk like him. And the only way we can do that is when we have the love of God dwelling in us. How do I set, how do I get to the point where I demonstrate this love? That's a good question. Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Let's go to Matthew 22, amen. We're in the Gospels. Matthew, hallelujah, chapter 22:37-40. And it says this, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so Jesus came back to simplify all the laws, all the things God was telling them to do over the years. Amen. He said, it just boils down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love others, hallelujah, as you love yourself. Amen. And so God, hallelujah, this is so good. My first love, hallelujah, my love for God has to be first. I can't love anyone until I love God. And we just talked about that earlier. Sometimes we think, hallelujah, we try to get love from the world, but the world can't give you that love because it doesn't know what it is. It can't even comprehend it. Love comes from light. Light comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Maker and God, hallelujah, in the flesh. Amen. And so we can't love others until we love God. So you can't get to a fulfillment. You can't get to a joy. You can't get to a peace, hallelujah, until you know who Christ Jesus is, until you love him. Amen. You have to put him first. Number two, we don't keep God's commandments so we don't go to hell. A lot of times we talk, do what God tells you to do so you won't go to hell. That's not our purpose from doing the law. That's not our purpose from doing the commandment. You know why I do the commandments? Because I love God. Hallelujah. Just like I love my father. Amen. It's a love, a fearful love that says, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to be in a place, hallelujah, that you're not a place where I can't lose your love because your love is unconditional. But I don't want to be in a place where I let you down, where I disappoint you. I love you so much. When you're in a marriage, when you're in a relationship, your thing is you don't want to disappoint the other person. Amen. That's what unconditional true love looks like. Amen. And so when I love God, when I serve God, it's not that I won't go to hell. I'm serving God because I love him so much. I don't want to disappoint him because he is a good father and has been a good father, and he loved me so much, so I should love him the same. Amen. We keep them because we love him, and not going to hell is a byproduct of that love. Now, here's the thing. You love, we do the commandments because we love God. But when we love God, there's the byproduct of that is we won't go to hell. We won't be destroyed. We won't go with the adversary because we love God. And so I'm going to take these last couple of minutes to tell you what love is not. Amen. When we look at love, what it's not, and we look at what love is, 1 Corinthians 13:1-6. You can go over there and read it, but I'm going to go through it quickly because I want to get it all finished today. Amen. Love, for one, is not an emotion. Emotion is part of the soulless realm. It's unstable. But love is a constant and does not change with action. And so I want you to first know love is not an emotion. Sometimes we think it's emotion. It's how we feel. But it's a constant. It doesn't change. I love my children unconditionally. Whether they mess up or not, it doesn't change the love I have for them. And so God wants us to know it's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's stable. It stands. It does not change. Amen. Love is not, it does not envy. We see that at 1 Corinthians 13:4 and also in Galatians 5:26. Love does not brag. Amen. This is all found in 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. It doesn't seek its own. It's not selfish. No one can say they love you and is selfish in the relationship. That's not love. And that's the kind of relationship sometimes we have with God. We want him to give, but we won't give back to him. All he wants is our adoration. All he wants is our love. All he wants is our service. Amen. And love is not selfish. Amen. So love is not, amen, it's not rude. It's not selfish. It is not easily provoked to anger. When I love you, I won't fly off the handle. I won't get angry, and God doesn't get angry with us like that, amen? Love is not thinking no evil of someone. I hope they fall. I hope something happens to them. They don't deserve it anyway. That's not love. If you have that flowing through your heart and your mind, you do not have the love of God inside of you, and you need to see that, amen? We don't do tit for tat, and God doesn't do revenge. He's a God of vengeance, but not revenge, amen? And so we need to be in an understanding that God, the love of God, when it's in you, it doesn't get angry and start to curse people. Amen. That's not the love of God. That's not what love looks like. Amen. And love does not rejoice in iniquity when someone falls. Amen. We look at Galatians 6:1. He says, you know, Apostle Paul said, you know, when a brother is taken in a fall, he there spiritually restore him considering yourself. Love will look at people through the eyes of God and say, I know you stumbled, but I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to still love you, even though you didn't get it right this time, because that's the same way God did with us. When we don't get it right, when we don't look like him, when we don't do the things that he tells us to do, he still loves us. Like we said earlier, it's not an emotion. Amen. It's a constant. It doesn't change. No matter what your actions is, how you do it, even how I feel, I still love you, and God still loves us. Amen. So that's what love not is. But what is love? Love rejoices in truth. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. Jesus is truth. Amen. Love bears all things. We still see all this in 1 Corinthians 13. Hopeth in all things, endureth all things, never fails, suffereth long, and is kind. That's what love is. Amen. To be effective in the things of God, we have to truly learn to love the way Christ loved. And we see that in 1 John 4:4-21. God bless you all, fellow truth finders. I thank you all for joining us on today. Amen. I hope you stay with us as we walk through the word of God, as we go through the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You don't want to miss the next one. Amen. Because we're going to get into joy. Amen. So God bless you all on today. I hope you have an awesome, awesome day. God bless you. Amen. And let you know it's the truth that makes you free.